All right. Good morning and welcome back to the Ex-Convict Diaries show. It's exactly Sunday in the morning and we are back again. It's me, your host, Penembeko Jonas, and today we have a very interesting topic. Yet we also find this topic very, very sensitive, and sometimes we even regard it as a taboo, especially in an African context or African perspective, which is women in prison. Because in so many cases, when you are hearing of a woman that went to prison, you'll be thinking, a woman as soft as she is, a woman as a mother of the nation, a woman as someone that gives life to someone, would they really commit crimes? But even that, in so many cases, we mostly forget that these people, not everyone that go to prison is a criminal, and not everyone that committed the crime intentionally committed that crime. And today I want you to invite you on this platform, on this show, so that we journey together, so that we unpack the challenges that these female prisoners mostly face, especially being an African woman, being a black woman, the humiliation that you have to go through, and all of that. And remember, I keep telling people that imagine when you're just even, you can go to prison anytime, God forbid, but that is the truth. Sometimes you are being accused, sometimes you'll be just be framed, sometimes maybe you are just unlucky and things happen, and then you find yourself in the correctional facility. You will be found guilty, you will be labeled as a criminal, and that's it. So today is that day that we are going to look at women who have been to prison and how the society judged them. Especially being an African woman that has been in the correctional facility. So it's me, your host, Penembeko Jonas. And just from the beginning here, I want you to listen to a very, very beautiful song before we go ahead with what I have for you this Sunday. We'll be right back. All right, it's good to be back. And remember, previously I said that we are going to reflect on women who have been to prison and how the society judged them, especially in an African perspective, when in an African context, because they are regarded as a woman. There's a difference between them and then a man when committed a crime. So as we reflect on this issue of women who have been to prison within the African context, I've seen in most of the times, I find myself thinking about how deeply society judges them, and the judgment that follows women after incarceration, it's not it's most of the times it's far heavier than the punishment they receive in prison. And in many African communities, when a woman goes to prison, the consequences do not just end when she is released, but instead there is a new sentence that has to begin just after her release, you know, a social sentence imposed by her community, a social sentence imposed by her family members, a social sentence which is imposed even by the system itself that should support her reintegration, right? And in many African cultures, women are traditionally seen as the moral background of the family. And they are expected to be caregivers, they are expected to be mothers, they are expected to nurture, they are expected to be protectors of family's values. And that's why in so many cases, women are viewed as the person who holds the households together, the person who raises children, the person who maintains social harmony with the community. Because of these deeply rooted expectations, when it's come to a woman commits a crime and end up in prison, most of the times, we often interpret it's not just a legal affair, right? It's not just a legal failure, but as a woman, it has also come in a picture that is a moral collapse. It also seen as that is betrayal of the very role she was expected to play. But do we also, we as a community, we a society that comes out and judge people according to the crimes that they have committed or they were found guilty of, do we also take a chance to to the root causes of that? Because believe me, sometimes we have seen, I would say I've listened to a lot of incarceration journey stories on social media, especially on YouTube, whereby I even came across a woman that she was, I forgot her name, but it's just this lady, she was traveling to she was traveling to China, or she traveled to China for a summit. I think something related to women conference. And then this woman, she's from Kenya, a lecturer even from the University of Kenya. She's such a lovely single mother who have really a good family. And then she decided she was selected, I think, among others, because she even have all her papers, all the acceptance letters, the summit documents and everything. And then she went to China. This is a very interesting story, because it will shock you. I'll be glad. I'll be really, really grateful. You have to go out there on social media and just check it out, especially on YouTube. And then she said that when she went to, she checked in that room, in China, it's like there was another woman who checked out, right? So yeah, she just settled. She was once settled in the morning. She was even expecting to have breakfast for at least even for a tour, because she doesn't really know China and everything. Out of nowhere, things just started changing. She just seeing people coming in the uniform, with some of the texts that I write in Polishia, that is the police and whatnot. Later on, she was told to unpack her things, like they were looking for something is missing. And then she was like, what is going on? What is happening? And no one is telling me anything. What is going on? Later on, she was taken to the bathroom. She was told to bend. She was told, like, every weird thing, she was told to do that. And remember, this is someone that came for a summit, and all of a sudden, things has changed, and she don't even know what is going on. She don't even know how to explain, and nobody's explaining. Nobody's trying to make things lighter for her, and she's just there. Remember, someone that went for a summit in China, just to end up in such a very weird and messed up situation, and then you'll be wondering what is really happening and what is going to happen with her life. A whole lecturer, African black woman from Kenya that went to China, right? I'm gonna cut the story very, very short. And then they have been just asking her a lot of questions. What is your name? How did you came here? You came here for what? No one is telling her anything. They are just asking questions. And then until she was taken somewhere, whereby now she was interrogated still by different people. Later on, she was taken to court. And then they met with another person that was also caught, I think, by the police. And then she was just told, no, you are here because you exchanged a bag of drugs. So when she said she is in this situation because she exchanged a bag of drugs, she was like, how is that possible? Me, an African woman, me as a mother, as a whole lecturer at the university from Kenya. How, for goodness sake, for me, that, how do I do that? How did I do that? How did that happen? It's not me. And then she's been saying, no, it's not me, it's not me, it's not me. People started now seeing on the CCTV cameras and everything. They are just saying it's her. Now that she has short hair, she was wearing wigs, she was what. So another man that was caught with a bag now of drugs, he was told to confirm, is this the woman that you have exchanged the bag with? The guy just said, she looked like this person, that person, but the hair has changed. Maybe she was wearing a wig. And then she was like, do you know me? Can you at least take a proper look at my face and confirm, is this me? Right? Is this me? So there was no stories or anything related. This woman was sentenced to 13 years in prison, that is in China, because she was found guilty because she have exchanged the bag of drugs, which it was not even her. So that basically what she said, that in the room where she checked in, the woman who checked out in the morning was the one who was dealing with, who was the drug dealer, and she was the one that exchanged the bag. They mostly just look familiar, but she was not the one. It's really, really a very touching and interesting story, because if you could have watched her video on how she was narrating the whole story, the challenges that she had faced, on how she was taken to antidepressant medicine, on how she, a lot of stuff, and how she was so depressed of her little babies, especially the youngest one, the girl that she left in China with her dad and the younger siblings, the elder siblings, because their mother passed away. It is really a painful story. But we, as African people, we as black people, when we look at these women, or someone that once in the Krishna facility, or someone who went to the Krishna facility, we don't look at these things off. People can be friends. People can be innocent and jailed for nothing, right? The mostly things that we focus on, how can a woman commit a crime? Why she, not him? Why is it as if it has to be a woman? But when crimes comes, it doesn't identify that this is a woman, this is a man. Anything can just come for you, right? So what I have observed is that most of the times when men go to prison, the society tend to frame their action differently. Whereby in many communities, as a man who has been incarcerated may still be accepted back in the society with a degree of tolerance, right? People might say that he made a mistake, that he was influenced by bad friends, or that circumstances led him down to a wrong path. But in most cases, many men are able to rebuild their lives and regain societal acceptance. But when it comes to a woman who goes to prison and came back, the judgment is very, very harsh. And she's not only seen as someone who broke the law, she is also looked at as someone who failed as a woman. In some communities, she may be labeled as an irresponsible, as immoral, or as she is very unfit to be a mother in the society. And this doubles the layer of stigma. Being both an ex-convict and being a mother or a woman who violated the societal expectations. Which in so many cases, this situation, this double stigma, make it very difficult for this woman to reintegrate in the society, right? It make it very, very difficult for her to reintegrate in the society. Okay? Because they have failed, right? They are regarded like she doesn't mean anything. She doesn't mean anything. She break the law. She can't be trusted again. It's not supposed to be a woman. It's supposed to be a man. Why should it be a woman, right? The society tend to look at all of those things, right? Nobody even feel them as a woman. Take a look at them and understanding them from a woman perspective, that these women, they are very innocent, right? They need support. They need to be cared for. They need somebody to hear them out. No, everyone will just turn an ear on them and no one will even want to listen to them, right? But when do we give the support? Now that we regard them and we know them as mothers, how do we support them? Right. So in an African context, right, family reputation is highly valued. The action of one individual most of the times is reflected on the entire family. And when a woman is imprisoned, her family may experience shame and embarrassment within the community. Neighbors may gossip. Relatives may distance themselves from that woman. And even the closest friends may also withdraw their support. The woman's identity, you know, it becomes defined by her criminal record. And the community may struggle to see beyond that label. They don't even look at the role she played in her community. The effort she made in building the community. Even her status in the community, and just look at like, no, Miss Isabel can never do such a thing. No, Miss Timothy can never do such a thing. Miss Angel can never, ever, ever do such a thing. Nobody will even think about something like that. No one will even defend them. Because people will just look at, no, you are a woman, you can't do that. But do you even know the honesty that comes with the whole situation and whole mess that this person found herself into? Another painful reality is how women who have been incarcerated are often judged as mothers. Many of these women have children, right? And when they return from prisons, they may find that society questioning their ability to raise their own children. Will you even be able to raise these children again? Are you even a capable mother? Are you even a caring mother? Are you even a supporting mother? Are you not going to poison your kids? Do you even understand the future of these children, right? So the society will question her ability to raise her own children just because of the crime that she have committed. And in some families, they may refuse to allow them to regain custody, believing that prison has permanently damaged their character. Right? The stigma does not only affect a woman, it also affects her children, who may face bullying, who may face discrimination or social exclusion because of their mother's past. I still want to reflect on that woman's story, that woman from Kenya who went for a summit in China, right? When she even said that she was taken on regaining a memory for close to 3 to 6 months just for her to regain her memory, and then she'll be able to remember. Oh, because she was just shocked. I left my 19-year-old son, my 15-year-old son in grade 7. And now I'm hearing that this whole grown-up man is now working. How is that possible? So she was now taken on that medicine whereby regaining memory step by step, incidents coming and happening one by one, just for her to understand, because it's just too difficult for her to adapt. And when she came back to her own community, there is not even job for her. It's like everything has collapsed. She really had a supportive family, but the society does not pity women who came from the Krishna facility. Not at all. Right? Speaking of now, the children, because the children, when they are growing, they'll ask, where's my mom? Now think about your mom that is in prison, in far away from home in China. Imagine your fellow student hearing that your mom is in prison because of drugs. You will be bullied. Those children will be bullied. They will be discriminated. Right? So in so many cases, community do not take the time to understand the circumstances that led led these women to into crimes. I'm not speaking about women that really, really committed crimes. Let's forget about women who were innocent and then they were sent to prison for so many reasons. So communities do not really take time to understand the circumstances that led some of women into crimes. Right? Even though the research and then the experience across many, many African countries shows that many incarcerated women have stories of trauma. They have stories of poverty. They have stories of domestic violence. They have stories of exploitation. Some were involved in survival crimes whereby they have acted as committed out of desperation rather than just getting greedy. Others were influenced by friends, influenced by people in power, influenced by greedy people. But some were also coerced by abusive partners, right? Unfortunately, these complexities are really acknowledged when society passes judgments. Nobody think about women's trauma, the trauma that this person has experienced throughout their lives until they are tired. Nobody speak about the domestic violence. Nobody speak about toxic husband, toxic partners. Nobody speak about all of those things before they judge them. But in so many cases, what troubles me deeply is that the harsh judgment that is placed on these women, it mostly pushes them further into isolation. And when a woman returns from prison and finds that her community no longer trusts her, her community no longer believes in her, that her employers refuse to hire her again because of the criminal record in her hand, that even her family members, they kept their distance, that the chances of rebuilding her life became extremely limited. Some they are even hated by their own children when they heard of the stories that people told them. Right? Instead of being supported to reintegrate, she is being pushed. Pushed away by the society, by her friends, by her children, by the family members. And no one even look at that. In so many cases, these rejections create a cycle that is very, very difficult to break. Without employment opportunities, without the emotional support that comes from the society, that comes from family members, that comes from friends, without acceptance from the community that yes, you are back, we still believe in you, we still want to give you another chance, we still, this is still your community, this is still your people, right? Everything becomes very difficult. Without that acceptance. And that is when some of women find themselves returning to the same environments and circumstances that led them to their imprisonment in the first place. The stigma that was meant to punish them socially end up making rehabilitation even more difficult. I've seen how people come back here in the society with so many plans that they want to change their lives, they want to rebuild their lives, right? They want to have a better future again. They want to fight and fight and find found worthy of living here. But does the society even make it better for them? Does it? Or everything is just so difficult for them? Nothing is really making sense or helping them to believe that, no, I'm still supported here. I'm still loved here. I'm still appreciated here. I'm still welcomed here. People still see my worth. Right? So the stigma that was meant to punish them socially just end up making rehabilitation so difficult for them that they can't even find strength. There is no hope anymore. They don't see any future anymore. But however, I also believe that African communities have the potential to respond differently. And one of the strengths of an African society has always been the concept of the community and collective responsibilities. In so many traditional ways, community believes in restoring individuals rather than permanently excluding them. You know, family elders, family members, community leaders will guide those who had made mistake and back into the society. Some people were taken to churches to reborn again. Some people were taken to spiritual leaders for them to regain their spiritual concept again, spiritual, just for them to be back again, their spiritual, what is this, conscious, spiritual conscious, yes. Right? They just need to be guided again. Because if we have to draw them from these values, from their values, we can begin to see women who have been incarcerated, not simply as offenders, but as human beings who deserve the opportunity to rebuild their lives. Because reintegration should not be about constant judgment. It should be about creating a pathway for healing, for transformation. Because remember, this person wants to heal. This person needs support. This person needs somebody to help them be better people. Right? Instead of judging here and there, what should we do with them? Right? How should we help them transform? How should we help them heal? People have bleeding wounds. People are bleeding. Because they don't feel loved. They don't feel supported, especially as a woman. And as I speak about this topic today, women in prison, I believe that we must ask ourselves some difficult questions. Are we judging these women based only on their mistakes? Or are we willing to understand the full story behind their lives? Are we creating environments where people can genuinely change? Or are we trapping them in labels that follows them forever? Because when a woman returns from a correctional facility, from prison, what she needs most is not condemnation, but support. She needs opportunities to work for her own money, for her own meal. She needs support to reconnect with her family. She needs support to restore her dignity. She needs mental and emotional healing after what has deeply traumatized her experience. And most importantly, she needs a community that believes that people can change regardless of the crimes committed, regardless of the mistake, regardless of anything. People can change, right? She wants to understand that, yes, somebody truly believes in me. And from my perspective, the way we treat women who have been to prison says a lot about the kind of a society we are building. Think of how you don't speak so well about your friend, just your own friend, your own parent, your own classmate. Think about all of that. And how do we respond to it? Now think about this woman now, right? From your perspective, how do you think about it? How do you get it? How do you think you can offer the support? All right? So from my perspective, I'll see it that the way we treat women who have been to prison says a lot about the kind of society we are rebuilding or we are building. If we respond with a permanent rejection that we don't need you, you are a woman and you are supposed to be a mother. It doesn't mean that because she went to a correctional facility, she's not a woman or she's not a mother anymore. No. She is. But with that permanent rejection that we offer them, we reinforce cycles of suffering and exclusion. But if we give them a chance to respond with understanding, to respond with accountability, and to support them, this will be a way of creating the possibility for transformation. And at the end of the day, incarceration should not just be about ending the person's humanity. A mistake no matter how serious it should not be erase someone's rights to build their lives. It should not be a reason to why you are disrespecting a fellow woman. It should not be a reason why you are discriminating this woman when you don't even know her story. Because women who have served their sentence deserve a chance to return to the society, not as a permanent outcast, but as an individual who is capable of growth, who is capable of change, and who is capable of a contribution to her children, to the family, and to the society at large. And if we truly, truly believe in justice, then we must also believe in redemption. And redemption can only exist where society allows a space for second chances. So my beautiful audience, I also want us to go for a short break, whereby I'm going to have you listen to a beautiful song that will seize our soul. Don't forget that every Sunday from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock in the morning, we will always be having this show that most of the times will speak about sensitive topics like this, the topics that are regarded as taboos, whereby most of us, we don't really get a chance to listen to it, and we are mostly left out. But this is a platform for us most of the times to learn, to learn from most of the things that is happening in the world, to rebuild ourselves and to see how are we going to take our life to be better and all of that. So I want us to listen to a song that says "What Hurts the Most" from Rascal Flatts. Enjoy the song.
Wataloka umekwe mbelo taveli pulanga helipi ngengo vamo no wewe yako fikola no 10th gen iPad ipopo ya dimoshi paketi. Top score instant. Oyaita pwefinda no talishambula lokushuna kofikola mondo maveja vaino milongo mbali na hamano. Opone ngom findani wakamweko mo iPad aveli vahetatu ovo tavaka findanwa ilo mano kavaucha ko ipumbi wa fikola yungushu ya dola eo vilimwe danamibia oshipu nengono lando kashako oko KG imwe eleke KG dilimbali ko top score instant. Oku jamo fitola keshe moshilongo ashishe ndeto SMS oshicha instant. Totumu kombali oneveli vatatu nombali. Efi afanueli otali hulmo milongo natuna limwe amaricha mondoma eveja vaino milongo mpali na hamano e mangono malandula fano odo dino kulandurwa. Top score, a proud product of Namibi Mills.
Thank you.
That was Rascal Flatts that says, "What hurts the most?" It's good to be back again, my beautiful audience. We are still on the Ex-Convict Diaries show, whereby we are currently unpacking the challenges that women face in prison. As I speak to you this morning, I want us to reflect on a topic that is mostly overlooked when discussing about prisons. Because when people think about prisons, they usually imagine the male inmates, the male experiences, and the male stories. They forgot about women. Yet across so many countries, including Africa, as a continent, there are thousands of women living behind prison walls, each carrying a story that is often far more complex than we imagine. And the reality is that women in prison, they face challenges that are very, very different from those experienced by men. Their struggles are not only legal, but also emotional, very social, and deeply personal. And many of these challenges, they begin long before they even enter the prison walls. And unfortunately, prison often interferes the difficulties they already carry. One of the most painful challenges women face in prison is the separation from their children. So, a mother is a mother. And now just think about you have to leave your children for someone to take care of them. You thinking about the bond. You thinking about, how am I going? Who is going to raise my children? Who is going to be there for my children? What will happen to my children? What is there? So many why reasons. Why does it has to happen that I have children now? Why can't it happen the time that I didn't have children? How will my children even go to school and further their studies? How will my children cope? How are my girls going to stay without a mom? Who is even going to teach them about their first menstruation cycle? Who is going to support them? Who is going to buy my beautiful daughters their first sanitary pad? So that is just a lot of questions. And with that challenge of a woman that is going to prison and looking at the separation from their children. So in many African societies, women are the primary caregivers in their families, right? We are all aware of that. And they are the one that is responsible for raising children, managing their home, providing the emotional support with the family structure. So when a woman is now imprisoned, when this mother is imprisoned, that entire system disrupted. Children are suddenly left without their mother's care. And in many cases, they are forced to live with relatives, to live with foster families, or sometimes even in unstable environments. But with this now extended families, with this relative, with these foster families, are they going to look to take care of these kids exactly as their own kids? Will they take care of them? Will they support their education? Or what is really going to happen? And that is the separation of the kids from, I mean, the mother from their kids. Sorry, that is the first challenge that always troubles them. So for the mother, the emotional burden can be very overwhelming. The constant worry about her children's well-being can lead to feelings of guilt, feelings of sadness, feelings of helplessness, right? Whereby some women, they struggle daily with the thought that they are missing important moments in their children's lives. You know, women, they even, as a mother, you'd want to celebrate your children's birthdays, your children's school's achievements and milestones, and then just a simple presence that a child needs from their parent, right? So that emotional pain can have a profound impact on a woman's mental health while she is in prison, right? Because just think of it now when, let me say you are working somewhere, let me say you are working in the city, and your son or your daughter is at the village, and then you'll be just thinking, oh, how is my son doing? How is she doing? How is she performing in school? Maybe I need to get her a school that is very, very close to me so that I'll be staying with her, right? You know, you just being so concerned, very, 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 very concerned, right? You'll be just so concerned about your children, to a point whereby you'll be feeling really, really sad, always feeling emotional numbness. You'll always be feeling sad and guilty that if anything wrong with your children, then you'll be held accountable of your actions. Because if you were there to take care of them, they might not even end up into problems. They may not even end up suffering, or they may even end up doing so well in school. But now that you are not there, you'll be feeling really, really bad. You'll be feeling like, no, something is empty. And with all of those thoughts, it will be very even difficult for you to adjust or to adapt to the prison's situation and how you can manage about that. So another major challenge that women face in prison is the issue of mental health. So many women who enter prison already have a history of trauma, right? They already have history of trauma, especially single mothers. Mothers without, oh, I mean, with absent co-parenting and all of that, they are very sad. They are going through that trauma before they even enter the correctional facility wall. So many women who enter now the prison already have that history of trauma, right? And I was doing a few researches, I think last week, whereby it shows that different regions have shown that a large number of incarcerated women have experienced domestic violence, they have experienced sexual abuse, or they have experienced other forms of exploitation at some point in their lives, just as I have narrated it from the beginning. And then when these women enter prison, they bring these unresolved emotional wounds with them. They bring along these unmet needs with them, right? But unfortunately, many prison systems are not adequately equipped to address the mental health needs, right? It's there. The psychological support is there, but it's not adequate. It's not enough. It's not so well structured in a manner that this person is going to fully heal from this wound or try to make ways on how the situation is going to be better or anything related, right? So the system itself doesn't really have that adequate equipment to address the mental health needs, particularly for women. So counseling services are there, the psychological support is there, and the trauma-informed care are mostly limited or unavailable. Because most of the times, and remember, I'm not just speaking about Namibia alone, I'm speaking now at African context. The support is there, but it's not enough. Or maybe the support is there, but it's not, the system is not structured in a manner that we are currently not dealing with a criminal. We are dealing with somebody who is really hurt and somebody who has a bleeding wound, somebody who is trying to fight, somebody who is trying to, there is just a lot that is going on, right? So as a result of lack of psychological support or lack of counseling as needed by that person, many women, they struggle silently with depression. They struggle in silent with anxiety and emotional distress. And then the prison environment, we can be very harsh and isolating. It may worsen these mental health challenges rather than helping them heal. So healthy care is another serious concern for women. Sorry, maybe let me just go back to the isolation part that mostly worsen the mental health challenges. Remember now that you are hurt. You are going through trauma, and people have a lot of trauma, different traumas, and they are fighting them at the same time. Now think about this woman that is now isolated, stays in her cell, just staying there, thinking imagining things that don't even exist, imagining things beyond her own thoughts or her own capabilities, planning things in her mind on things that is not even gonna work out, right? So imagine now if you have to isolate this person, how is it going to work out? How is she going to heal? Right? So, as I said it earlier, that healthcare is another serious concern for women in prison. Women have specific healthy needs that differ from those of men, right? We are speaking of productive health. We are speaking of pregnancy care. We are speaking about menstrual hygiene. So in many prisons, however, facilities were originally designed with male inmates, right, in mind. When people built all these prison walls, in mind, they only thought that only male that commit crimes. So the facility implementation or design were just designed with a male inmates in mind. And that means that the healthy care system, the healthy care needs of women are not always properly addressed. It was not really designed in a favor of a woman, right? For example, just access to basic menstrual cycle products may be also limited in some facilities, even though I have seen some of local non-profit organizations and even international ones where they do donations of sanitary pads, they do donations of so many things that they'll be able to work, to assist women when it's come to, during that season of getting their periods. So, getting their periods, right? When there is a limited in those facilities of hygiene products, women, they are not as free as men. And that can create an uncomfortable and undignified conditions for female inmates. Right? You are not just free. And when it comes to pregnant women in prison, they also face a very, very unique challenges. It's always so different. They may not receive the proper prenatal care, which is required to ensure that the health and safety of both the inmate mother and the child. And in some cases, women may even give birth while incarcerated, which raises a complex emotional and psychological issues regarding the care of the newborn child. What is going to happen to this child? Right? What is going to happen to these kids? When the child is born in the correctional facility, what is it going to happen, right? So it's really a challenge. It's really a challenge because in so many cases, women may even, once they give birth to the child, you think, okay, what if this child going to find out that she was born in the correctional facility or in prison? How is she going to adapt, right? My beautiful audience, I want to assure you that beyond all the physical and emotional challenges, women in prison also face significant social stigma. You know, we said that you as a woman, you are already judged as a woman, as a mother, and as an inmate again. Right? Because society judged these incarcerated women from that harshly than men. Because men are regarded as men. Men are regarded as they do mistakes because of the pressure that comes from the community. But women can't do things out of pressure that comes from the society, or their feelings are not considered. Because in many cultures, women are expected to uphold those certain moral standards, those social responsibilities. And when a woman commits a crime, it is just seen not only they have violated the law, but they have failed to live up the societal expectations. Women are always expected to be more. They are always expected to be sweet. They are always expected to be the angels on earth, I think, right? So that stigma can create feelings of shame, can create feelings of isolation within prison. I just want to be alone. I want to be left alone. I don't even need somebody to come and see me, to come and look at me while I'm at the correctional facility, because what will people say? What picture will they have that is displaying in their mind, and they are going to tell the whole village, my people? Some women may feel that they have disappointed their families, they have disappointed their communities, and even themselves. Those feelings can then make it very difficult for them to maintain hope or confidence about rebuilding their lives after release, right? Another challenge is education and rehabilitation, right? Education and rehabilitation opportunities in prison can also be limited for women. Because there we are speaking of skill development courses, handmade opportunities, heavy work for men. So in many prison systems, vocational training programs and educational opportunities are primary designs for male inmates. And as a result, women may have fewer chances to develop skills that could help them secure employment after their release, right? Because women, they are mostly not considered as they'll be able to do something with their hand. Let me see, because I've seen in so many cases whereby It's good that I have mentioned vocational trainings previously, that most of the courses which are located there, it's either welding, pipe and fitting, agriculture, carpentry, right? There is no soft courses there for women, and most of the times they are just being left out. So now, without access to meaningful training on education, women may leave prison with the same economic struggles they face during incarceration. And this lack of preparation can make reintegration into society extremely, extremely difficult. Finding employment become harder when someone has a criminal record, and the absence of a new skills only adds another barrier. So now think of you coming from the correctional facility back in the society, right? You don't have any other skill because you did not have a chance to partake in the courses that were implemented or offered to you, because you are not man enough to contribute in that courses, or it may be very, very difficult for you to do it. So you still just come back here in the society. You find it very difficult even to find a job because of the criminal record that you have in your hands, and life gonna be very, very difficult again. So another challenge that I want us to look at that women face in prison is the loss of personal identity and dignity. So prison life mostly involves strict routines, right? Limited privacy and restricted freedom. So for women who have previously been responsible for caring for their families, managing their households, that sudden loss of independence can be emotional draining, and it will make life very difficult for them during incarceration, right? It will be very, very difficult, and they'll find it very difficult just to adapt to them not having their freedom, them not having their privacy, them not even knowing what to do next, because it's like someone is holding them back. So then they'll just be in that chain of regretting of so many, 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 many things that they don't even mean anything. They don't even have that dignity anymore. So even that, many women also struggle with feelings of powerless. You are just feeling powerlessness, like you don't have any power to you as a woman. Because remember, women, we have pride in being a woman, pride of being a woman. And if you don't have that pride of being a woman, then you may feel like, you don't even mean anything to the world. So you must just carry it with that pride of them having to take responsibility of being a woman and just carrying it out. Then they will not be able to carry that crown and just go out there and shine again. So despite all those challenges, it is important to recognize that women in prison demonstrate remarkable resilience, even remarkable experience, even when they are supposed to, prison, and demonstrate remarkable experience. All right. Even with the difficult circumstances, some women seek always the important, they seek to improve themselves, support fellow inmates, and prepare for a better future. They participate in an available program, building support, supportive friendship, and try to hold hope on that. So as I reflect on the challenges women face in prison, I believe it's very important for the society to understand that incarceration affects women in a very unique, yet in a very bad way. And for us to have this chance to look at all the challenges that women are facing and how the society look at them, it requires that it requires more than simply just placing women behind bars. It requires the prison systems that are sensitive to gender-specific needs, policies that support rehabilitation, and the communities that are willing to accept individuals who are trying to rebuild their lives. So the goal of any justice system should not only be punishment, but also transformation. When women are given that support, when women are given that dignity and opportunity they need, they have the potential to heal from past experiences and contribute positively for the society. So for us now to understand the challenges women face in prison is the first step towards creating a system that are more human, are more effective, are more justice. And when we choose the approach, this issue with compassion and awareness, we open the door to meaningful change for our individuals, for the individuals, for our families, for a community at large. So beautiful audience, we have looked at the challenges that mostly women face and how they respond to that. Maybe we can also take a very short, break, and we listen to a song. And then after that, we are coming to unpack on how children that are born inside the correctional facility survive this life after hearing that they were born in the correctional facility. It's me, your host, Penelope Jonas. Let's go for a short break, and then we come back. We are going to listen to Davito and with a song that says challenging and vicious. Let me out, 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 let me out Welcome back again, and I hope you have enjoyed the song that was on the background. Nice to be back again, and would like to continue with our topic for today. But right now, I want us to look at what happens when a woman gives birth in prison, and what are the challenges that are faced by children who are born in prison. And I speak to you this morning. I want us to reflect on a very, very sensitive and mostly overlooked, I keep saying this, reality within our prison system. The experience of women who give birth while incarcerated, and their lives of the children who begin their journey in such a very difficult circumstances. It is a topic that many people rarely talk about, rarely, mostly ignore, yet it raises so many profound questions about justice, raises so many questions about humanity and the welfare of both mothers and their children. So when a woman becomes pregnant or gives birth in prison, the situation immediately becomes complicated. Prisons are not designed to function as an environment for raising children, right? We all know that. Once you just hear the word prison, then I know you are expecting something, you have something in your mind. So it's a topic that we are scared to speak about, right? And most of the times we don't even find reasons to think about the next person, on the lives that they are living, the challenges that they are living, right? We are always just concerned about, How is she feeling? How does she make it? How does she do that? But have you ever gotten a chance just to go to this woman or to this child that was born in the Krishna facility and ask, how are you doing life with this, all these challenges or with all of that, right? You know, as I said it earlier, that prisons are not designed to function as environment for raising children. Yet, the reality is that women, some women enter prison already pregnant, or they become pregnant before their incarceration. So in many cases, these women must go through pregnancy and childbirth while within the strict and controlled environment of a correctional facility. Remember, we said there is no privacy in a correctional facility. You are just doing life alone there. Whether it comes, it concerns your health, whether it has something to do with your privacy or anything related, it's like nobody cares. You are just equal to any other inmate there. Whether you are pregnant, yes, you are supposed to be cared for, but even that, you don't have freedom to everything. You are not access to everything. You are not privileged to things that are so different from others, unless maybe you have your probably you are going through, I mean, you have what? You have a sickness that needs support or need to be supported in a manner that it will better your health and that. So once you look at now, I want you to look at it from a perspective of you being pregnant, especially as a woman. You are pregnant and you are in a correctional facility. Now just think of it. How do you see yourself or measure yourself? Imagine now the challenges that we face as a woman being pregnant, and then double it again when you are pregnant and you are in the correctional facility or you are in prison. How do you think maybe will you overcome all of that? So the first challenge of a pregnant woman in the correctional facility is access to proper health care during pregnancy. We thought of that. I mean, we spoke of that. We already spoke of that. Because pregnancy requires regular medical checkups, the balanced nutrition, the cravings, the emotional support, and a very, very safe environment. However, many prisons, particularly in developing countries, they struggle to provide adequate health care services for pregnancy, for pregnant inmates. The limited medical staff, the insufficient resources, and the overcrowded facility can make it very difficult to provide the level of care that pregnant women may need. Remember right now that you're out there, you are a woman that is pregnant and you are craving. And you always make sure that your cravings are met. How about a woman that is expecting in the correctional facility, and whenever they are craving for something, no one is even there to support them? Imagine you staying with your spouse and you are going through emotions and you always need emotional support. Who will give them emotional support when they are stressed, when the pregnancy is having complications, when they are not feeling like their babies keep kicking, just to ensure that, no, whatever that I'm carrying in my stomach is alive and is promising me that, no, mama, one of the good days I'll come out of this, your belly, and I'll be a good child. So it's just so a lot from them, right? And, you know, the limited medical staff, because not every prison, especially in our African prisons, there are shortage of medical staff, right? That's why sometimes you can see inmates whereby they are taken from the correctional facility, going to clinics or hospitals for medical health support, right? We'll look at all of those things and see that It should be really, 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 really difficult for an expecting mom to be in a correctional facility. And think of it now. This person has been going through those burdens already in the correctional facility. And yet, when they are back here again, you want to make their life difficult again. Maybe you should also look at that and think of how so many ways whereby we are going to support them, right? How are we going to support them? How are we going to support them so that all the pain that they have endured during the correctional facility, maybe it's now time for them at least to live better, to think better, to think better about the future and all of that. So, because we know that during pregnancy, women in prison may experience anxiety about their health. And every expecting mother, they experience anxiety about their own health and the health of their unborn child, right? The prison environment can be very, very stressful. And stress itself can affect both the mother and the baby. So many, many pregnant inmates also face emotional struggles, which includes the fear about the future. Right? Just the fear about the future. Guilty, them feeling guilty. So it's the fear about the future. They're guilty about bringing a child into such a bad circumstances. And so many reasons about what will happen after the baby is born. Concerned about the family, concerned about the future of the baby, concerned about all the questions, all the what happened, all the what, all the discrimination, all the stigma, and all of that. So when the time for childbirth arrives, the process can be very, very different from what women experience outside prison. In some cases, women are transported to hospitals under the supervision of correctional officers. And then the presence of security personnel during such an intimate and vulnerable moment can be emotionally difficult for the mother. Instead of experiencing childbirth in a supportive and private setting surrounded by loved ones, many incarcerated women or mothers, they go through labor feeling isolated and exposed, right? And after the child is born, the prison system must make decisions about whether the baby will remain with the mother or be placed in the care of family members or social services. So in some countries, I don't know, I'm not really so sure about Namibia, but in some countries, facilities and babies are allowed to stay with their mother in prison for a certain period of time. And during the early month or early years, let me say 6 to 12 months there, the child can stay with their mom, and later on, the arrangement will be made for the child to go and stay with probably a trusted parent or a trusted relative, and which is mostly very, 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 very difficult for the baby's emotional development. And I don't know now what happened. Now I want you to think about the pleasure that mother will be experiencing when her baby is taken from her, and she have to think of how is the baby going to stay out there without her love, without her care. And it just leave this mom in every emotional distress. And most of the times we don't really look at that. We are saying, no, it's for the care of the mother, but I mean, it's for the care of the baby, but it also gives a damage to the what? to damage to how will the mother think about this whole situation, right? However, even when the babies allowed to stay with their mothers in the correctional facility, you know, the environment itself, it's far from what it's expected. It's far from the idea of raising a child, right? You know, prisons are designed for security. They are designed for control. They are not designed for nurturing young children. So the space may be very, very limited. The environment itself may not be crucial for the child's development, right? Recreational opportunities may be scarce. And then just the general environment can feel restrictive and institutional to the child's growth and development. Although some facilities may also try to create a special units for mothers and infants, but resources are very, very limited. So in a situation where babies are not allowed to remain in prison, the child is usually placed in the care of relatives, such as their grandparents, such as their aunt, or other family members. So probably go to the father's side. We are not so sure of how they make arrangement, but it also just help to cater for the baby, so that just to make sure that the child is it's taken care of, and the child is supported, the child is very safe, and the child is just raised out of a prison wall, so that it will be very different for them when they are growing. Right? And most of the times, you know, the child may enter the foster care system if they do not really get somebody to take care of. So for the mother, that separation itself can be very, very deeply painful. The earlier months of a child's life, you know, are crucial, both, for bonding, and losing that bond can cause emotional distress for both the mother and the baby when the baby is developing and growing, right? So for children who spend their early life in prison with their mother, the unique challenges they may face as they grow. But although these children have not committed any crime, they begin their lives in an environment that is restrictively and different from what most children experience, right? Their exposure to prison, their routines, limited social interactions, and confined spaces may affect their early development. Just imagine of you now growing up with other children, and then you get to hear just, no, you that was what with your mom, you that was what with your mom. So it does bring a damage. It's also a damage, right? And it's a challenge that most of women and children who are born during the correctional facility face, right? They face all of that. They face all of those challenges because most of the times when these children, they grow older, we all know about stigma. Stigma, it's always the most emerging issue. And the society attacks or labels these children, right? They attack them in a judgmental manner, right? You wanting to remind this child of what happened to you. What happened to you when you were in the correctional facility? What happened to your mom? What happened to when you were there and whatnot. And then it will just give them that reason to be like, ah, am I now different from others? Or what is really happening? So these children born in prison, they face challenges, unfair judgments, just simply because of where they were born. Other children may teach them or isolate them if their background becomes known. And this stigma affects a child's self-esteem and even a sense of belongingness, because there will be always a question to what happened to me. What happened to me? So children born to incarcerated mothers may also face emotional challenges related to separation. If they're eventually removed from prison environment and they are placed with relatives or caregivers, they may struggle to understand why they are separated from their mother. I've seen it in so many cases, and we call this, I'm forgetting the word. Like, they find it very difficult to, okay, disclosure. You know, some caregivers, they find it very difficult to disclose or to provide that disclosure space to a child to what happened to your mom, what separates you from your mother. So this child may not fully comprehend with the situation, but they may also feel free the emotional impact of the absence of their parents. So just to add on that, children growing up with an incarcerated parents, sometimes they face economic and social disadvantages, whereby families caring for these children may already be under financial strain, and the additional responsibility can create further pressure for them. And when it's come now to education, healthy care and stable living conditions may become more difficult depending on the circumstances of the family. So despite now these challenges, it is very important to remember that children born in prison are not defined by the circumstances of their birth or by the crime that was committed by their mom, but with the right support, with the right genuine love and opportunities presented to them, they can grow into healthy, successful individuals. So what matters the most is that they are provided with a stable, caring environment and the emotional support that every individual needs, especially for a developing child, for a growing child, right? Now from a broader perspective on how society and correctional systems, if we are to recognize the unique needs of incarcerated mothers and their children, if we are to implement programs that support maternal health, early childhood development and family connection, can make it very easier for even women to support their children, even from a correctional facility wall, right? And it will make a very significant difference. So they need to be, the parental programs need to be implemented, and healthy care services need to be improved, and just to create that child-friendly space within prisons to help and protect the well-being of both the mother and the child. And just to add on that, maybe we can also try to maintain a regular contact between incarcerated mothers and their children it's very, very essential, because when children live outside prison, maybe we should also allocate their visiting programs, whereby they'll have a chance always to connect with their mother and just see how they are going to work together, grow together, and have a better future. Because most of the time, some of the children, they are even limited not to go see their mother while they are in the correctional facility, right? So the visitation programs will be really, really important. It should be really, really taken serious that the children will have a chance to go see their mother while in the correctional facility. So maybe just still pressing at the visitation programs and the communication opportunities can really help preserve the emotional bond between both the mother and the child. And then maintaining that connection can play a crucial role in both the child's development and then the mother's rehabilitation, because everyone feels supported fully. So as I reflect on this issue, I believe it reminds us that the justice system does not only affect individuals who commit crimes, it also affects the families, it also affects the children who are completely innocent. And then the well-being of these children should always be a priority, ensuring that they are protected, ensuring that they are supported, ensuring that they are given an opportunity to thrive with an act of compassion. It is an investment that the future of our community needs, because when we support a child from birth throughout their development, throughout them growing, it's like you are sowing a seed that you expect to grow and thrive one of the good days. And I would, my beautiful audience, as we came across closing this program, I want us to understand what happens when a woman gives birth in prison, the challenges that us to think more deeply, just to think about it, to think about the whole justice system, if maybe there are some of the amendments that needs to be done, or to think about the humility, I mean to your humanity, and our responsibility of what should we do and how should we support them. Because when we consider the lives of both mothers and children in these circumstances, we are reminded that justice must always be balanced with dignity and care for the most vulnerable. Vulnerable among us. So beautiful audience, today we have came to the end of our program, whereby we have been speaking about women in prison, especially from our African context, on how we judge women because they are women, how we judge women because they are not men, and how we look at these women as, just because you are a woman, you cannot commit a crime. And even if you commit a crime, it's like you are double judged. Because the society has so many expectations from you. The society is demanding so much from you. They are judging you as a mother. They are judging you as a woman. They are judging you as the spearheading house. They are judging you for the dignity, for the pride that you carry as a woman. And they don't just look at the crime that you have committed. They don't just look or probably listen to your story. No, they look at everything that will make you small as a woman. They will look at everything that will make you very little, that you as a woman, you are not supposed to be A, B, C, D, E. So beautiful audience, we am now here speaking to you that things happen, right? Mistakes take place. But when we see someone that is seeking for a second chance, someone that is seeking for another opportunity, someone that needs to be supported, need to be cared for, needs to be given a chance to prove themselves worthy, what support can we offer? What support can we give to this person, right? Because we shouldn't always just judge. We should give the support. We should offer the support, all right? So how should we do it? How should we come in and support these people? How do you as an individual think about the topic for today and say, no, I really want to step in for this person. I really want to do this a journey with this person. So how should you come in? How should you do it? We have family members that are really, really suffering, going through a lot, but even that, they still have us, but it's like we are not helping them. So as I conclude on this discussion, I think it's very important for us all to reflect deeply on what it is truly means when a child is born in prison. The child did not commit a crime, remember? The child did not choose the circumstances. And yet, from a very first day of life, that child is already affected by a system meant to punish someone else. This reality should remind us that the impact of incarceration goes far beyond for an individual who has been sentenced. For mothers who gave birth in prison, the experience can be emotionally overwhelming. But instead of celebrating motherhood in a supportive and in a loving environment, many women must face that moment surrounded by restrictions, surrounded by uncertainty, and then the fear about the future of their children. So the bond now between the mother and the child may be disrupted by separation, may be limited, there may be limited contacts or difficult living conditions, but even these experiences can leave lasting emotional effects on both the mother and the child, whereby they really need a support and we should support them, right? You can't just let another woman, suffering in shame and we are not doing anything about it. However, this conversation, this topic for today, should not leave us feeling hopeless. It should encourage us to think about how societies and how the justice system can become more human and more responsive to the needs of vulnerable people. How children born in incarcerated mothers deserve protection, deserve to be loved, deserve to be cared, deserve to be given another chance to live, to grow, and come here and prove that I am not like my mom who committed the crime. I was not born into a correctional facility because I have wronged someone. When we look at all of these issues with compassion and understanding, we begin to see supporting. We begin to see so many hope. We begin to have hope for incarcerated mothers. All right, beautiful audience. I would love to appreciate you for all that you have been on board, for all that you have contributed to. And I'm grateful that we all understand what mothers go through. So it's me, your host, Penny Emeko Jonas, and we'll be having this every Sunday at 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock. So please, I'm just inviting you again that don't forget to follow Eagle FM on all our social media posts, Eagle FM Namibia. You can go to Google, you can go to YouTube, you can go to Instagram and tune in. Also, don't forget to download the Eagle FM app so that you always remain connected. It's me, your host, Penembeko Jonas, until we see each other again next Sunday. Thank you so much.